Good afternoon. You are live here with your guests, Carlos Uribe and Josh Bonilla. We have a very special guest with us here this afternoon. He's a native Los Angelino, the owner of LA Media Communications and the People's Concert. He specializes in media communications. He's been a producer for 30 years. Currently, he is the board member and event coordinator for the Rio Hondo Symphony, and he's the planning commissioner and chairman for the city of Pico Rivera. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred please Zermino. Welcome. Fred Zermino, welcome,
thanks for
sir.
Coming. Thank you. Zermino. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff, guys.
It's so great to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
It's great to be here. I mean, this is awesome. Nice studios and...
Thank you. We worked hard for you over here at the campus of Pasadena.
that's what I hear.
Great. Yeah, you know, our listening audience knows that we usually have artists on our show, and this is actually the first show that we're having where we have a music industry professional. And so it's a little different format, but we're very excited to discuss with Mr. Zermino about his wonderful work. Of course, he does an incredible amount of charity work
that helps out the community. One of the greatest humanitarians that we've met. And he's actually, it's a great pleasure to have you once again, Fred Zermino, back for the first time in our studio.
For the first time in our studio. We wanted to ask you, early in your career, you mentioned that you did photography. I know that you did work with the LA Rams.
Yes.
You also did with the Raiders, and you are on your 25th year with the LA Dodgers as an official photographer.
John Suh, who is the official photographer for the LA Dodgers, I'm just a sidekick. Do a lot of work for EGP and other newspapers and magazines, but I am this year coming up on my 26th season covering the Dodgers, and it's exciting, getting to know the players, getting to know management, and the fans are great over at Dodger Stadium. So it's really neat to photograph in that environment. Yeah,
right.
And talking about photography, it's a dream of mine, and actually it came true. And that's one thing I share with the young generation: is make sure you follow your dreams, no matter where you work. Born here in Los Angeles, I was selling the Herald Examiner. It's an old newspaper at the age of 14 on the corner of Wabash and Evergreen in Los Angeles in Boyle Heights. And that was my newspaper that I sold off a bus bench. And what caught my eye was a Ram football player diving over the top of the and what was amazing exactly what was amazing was how'd they freeze this guy on the newspaper. So for me, at the age of 14, photography caught my eye right away. I wanted to learn it. I wanted to know what froze this guy. So I started studying photography right away at the age of 15, 16. I started going to the library and looking for books and magazines on photography. And then just being a little hustler from Boyle Heights, I hustled and got a good job at the age of 23 with the LA Rams and shot for them for 9 years. So that was really exciting. Yeah. Being a part-time field photographer.
You had mentioned that you're a big football fan as well, right?
Yeah, so. I love the NFL. Oh, yes. I've always loved the NFL since I was a kid. Obviously the Rams being my first love, and then of course the Raiders coming to LA and following the Raiders for many years, and so that was exciting.
Well, obviously you've done and people, of course, our listening audience is just hearing this for the first time, but you have done an amazing amount of charity work, and we're wondering, how did you first become involved in charity work? What was it that inspired you to become involved in charity work?
Well, I'll tell you, when I got involved with charity work, I did that working in the city of Los Angeles. I was fortunate enough to be a press secretary for some years with the city of Los Angeles, and working for the city of Los Angeles, you come across a lot of people who need help. So we helped, obviously the community as much as we could, did a lot of fundraisers in different ways. But when tragedy struck, not only here in the city of Los Angeles, but in other countries, being so diverse here in Los Angeles, the people from other countries would come to us for assistance. You know, and what happened, especially I think it was 1999 when Hurricane Mitch struck Central America. I saw Mitch Mitchell, who was wandering the halls of City Hall, and I went up to him, and him being named Mitch Mitchell, which is the original drummer of Jimi Hendrix, said, "I want to help the people from Central America because my name's Mitch Mitchell, and the hurricane was called Hurricane Mitch." So
he thought no relation.
Right. So he really felt that he wanted to get involved, which was really neat. And you know, he still had glitter on half his face and wearing these bell bottoms. So I knew he was a rocker. And I said, you know, I got to talk to this guy, see what he's up to.
Right.
And so that was really neat. We helped him pull off a concert that raised some money and raised a lot of
$80,000.
$80,000 and it raised a lot of clothing and dry foods and canned foods. So we were able to send a lot of that stuff to Central America via boat ship to the people out there who needed it the most. And then from there, I said, man, you know, charity work is great as long as you know how to do it, as long as you have the media behind you. You're going to raise the money you need to help the people when they need it the most. So from there on, in the late 90s, I really started doing a lot of charity work, got involved with the Bob Hope USO, got involved with different music organizations, different musicians, and just a lot of different people who were doing charity work at the time.
No. Absolutely. You know, of course, you know, and we will definitely be talking about all these organizations because
sure.
He's done some amazing work. But going back, you know, you mentioned that when you first met Mitch Mitchell and he had he asked him if, you know, you guys would be interested in doing a concert. He actually got his friends together and you did this concert. And at the end, he said, yeah, you know, we're going to pay you. What do we owe you for this thing? And he told you. It was all on him.
We gave him a little gas money. He was happy for that. But other than that, he really didn't want much in return. And that's the way a lot of the rockers are. You know, they just want to do something good in their life, feel good kind of thing for him. That's how I started the People's Concert. It was because of Mitch Mitchell.
Yes.
I just thought it was so easy for him to get all these musicians together. And make it all happen. So I told him, "Hey, Mitch, when I grow up, you know, this is what I want to do. Is I'm gonna start a production company and do charity work." And he says, "Well, do it for the people." And right there, I said, "There you go, man. The People's Concert." And that's where the People's Concert was originally formed with Mitch Mitchell and myself in a room talking about a future company.
Yeah. That's such a great, great story.
Yeah.
You know, people, those are just things you don't get to hear. But, you know, obviously, at some point, you started working with an organization, and it was called the Mark Daniels Flores Music Foundation. And this was an organization that was started by parents. There were two parents. Their son was killed. His name was Mark Daniel Flores Jr. He was killed on February 25th, 2009, in a motorcycle accident. And I know that, you know, obviously there's an incredible amount of challenge, and people don't realize when they're starting up, say, a nonprofit organization. And you were there and you were able to help these people. We're wondering if you can explain to us kind of what it's like, a startup process for one of these organizations.
And well, obviously, it was a tragedy for someone to lose their only son. When you see people hurting like that, you definitely want to help them somehow get their mind off the situation. So I saw that Mark Daniel was loved by all his friends and students, and he was in a couple of bands at the time. And I know he was a teacher's aide, I believe, at Baldwin High School.
Right.
You know, I said, you know, to the parents, you should start a foundation in Mark Daniel's name. And I think that worked out because they still have it. It's stronger than ever. What they do is they help students who want to continue to learn music in college, because we've had so many, especially here in California, a lot of the state budget has cut a lot of the music programs out in different colleges. So they do scholarships to make sure that students continue to learn music. And every year they raise, from $500 to $7,500 to make sure that students are still studying music. But one thing I like to explain to people is when you start a nonprofit organization, make sure you follow the state rules and regulations, because there's so much behind it. It's not only putting on events and having a good time and getting all these bands to perform for you, but you got to really study those rules and regulations from the Attorney General's office to make sure that everything's done correctly.
Well, you know, and again, going back to the Mark Daniels Flores Music Foundation, we did a little research, and it turns out that they have 10 scholarships, and they're in the amount of $500, and they're given to students each and every year.
Correct.
To kind of help them. And so you're very much part of that, and you do that for quite a few organizations. You help them start up, and I'm wondering, how do you you have two organizations? You have the LA Media Communications and the People's Concert LLC.
Correct.
How do those work? How do you use those two corporations in conjunction with one another to achieve that?
Okay, well, the LLC, the People's Concert, basically, I have to report it on obviously every year to the IRS, whether I make money or not. For instance, I do the Beatle festivals. I got to make sure that all my sponsors' money is reported, and at the same time, you know, I pay out a lot. You know, the rental of the stadium, the bands, security, insurance. So a good concert might cost $60,000, but even though you've raised $60,000, you kind of sometimes break even, not unless you have really good ticket sales or a great sponsor, but it all needs to be reported. The LLC needs to be reported. Now, LA Media Communications is something that helps notify the media. Mm-hmm. And so with LA Media Communications, I do press releases, press advisories, and I reach out to all LA County media to make sure that they know about the events going on in the different cities. City News Service is a great organization that you can reach out to and send your media and press releases and media advisories to, because all news outlets look at that on a daily basis. So that's the difference between the People's Concert and LA Media Communications. So I use them hand in hand. One promotes the other one, and it's pretty neat.
Well, you know, and with that in mind, we want to remind our listening audience to visit the Mark Daniel Flores Foundation. It's at www.mdfmf.org.
And that's great.
Be sure to go on their website and support them. If you're a student or a parent of a student and you're looking for some support.
But thank you for joining us here on the Music Forum. Here's a media consultant, humanitarian, and a community leader, Fred Zermino. He is joining us live at Lancer Radio Network Studios. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. PCC Veteran Services strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefits, information, referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club anytime in the Veterans Resource Center in Building W, Room 108.
PCC's First Year Pathways program provides students guaranteed full schedules, including difficult-to-get English and math courses in the fall and spring, semesters of their first year at the college. Pathways provides students with the critical support they need outside of the classroom so that they can complete their academic goals in a timely manner. For more information about PCC's Pathways program, visit www.pasadena.edu/pathways.
Are you anxious, frustrated, or just feeling down? Stop by Psychological Services and talk to a counselor. We are committed to helping students cope with the transitions of adulthood by increasing their awareness, knowledge, and resources. We attempt to meet each student at his or her need level, whether in a crisis situation, experiencing an exacerbation of a long-standing problem, or anticipating forthcoming changes. The Psychological Services Program helps students to handle the stresses of college life. Learning to master these challenges will enhance a student's psychological, educational, and career development while at PCC and long after. Stop by L108 or call 626-585-7273. We are here to help.
Student Health Services provides quality health and education services. Our friendly and knowledgeable staff offer a variety of specialties and extensive experience in student healthcare and are happy to assist students with their healthcare goals. In order to receive healthcare services, each student must present a current Lancer ID card or valid picture ID, be currently enrolled and attending classes at PCC. Services are available from the first day of the semester until the last day of the semester. Students who drop all their classes are no longer eligible. Health Services is located in D105 and their hours are Monday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Tuesdays, 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For more information or to make an appointment, call 626-585-7244.
Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sound.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Streaming live 24/7 at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Josh Bonilla and Carlos Uribe. He is both a civic leader and a humanitarian who works tirelessly to improve the lives of all those around him. Fred Zermino is here in our Lancer Radio Network studios. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Fred Zermino, thanks for coming in once again.
Man, it's a pleasure to be here. You guys are awesome. We're having a great time over here. It's great.
Absolutely. But, you know, we were talking about the Mark Daniel Flores Music Foundation before.
Right.
And, you know, some of the work that you did with them. You know, obviously, you get offers to work with a lot of organizations all over Southern California, all over the world, I'm sure. And how do you decide what types of events and projects and organizations you choose to work with?
Yeah, and that's really tough. You know, right now I have my hands full with a couple other organizations, and you get to be my age, and you got to really slow down because there's not two or three of me, which I wish there were, but as well, I have the Bob Hope USO. Which is something that I adore doing, and then of course the Rio Hondo Symphony. But man, you know, Mark Daniel's great foundation, and you really gotta. What I do is I try to choose organizations that are in LA and that are near me nowadays because it's just time goes by so fast and there's so much to do. That you just really got to choose and choose wisely. If not, you're going to get drowned into.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that brings up another wonderful cause that you've been at for about 10 years now. You guys are on your 10th annual or going on your 11th annual.
Well, this is the 10th annual, and it's this Tuesday. I can't mention where because it's a private event, but it's the Bob Hope USO 10th annual Thanksgiving dinner for the troops. And this is something that I started when I left the city of L.A. I saw a gentleman by the name of Mike Tillman. He's a general for the U.S. Army. And he started it the first year. And I went in there and saw what he did. And I said, Mike, if you ever need my help, you know, let me know. I'd love to help you. I love what you're doing. And what they do is what he started the first year is he started feeding 200 men and women in uniform who leave on the week of Thanksgiving. So I said, Mike, you know, I could probably bring this up a notch and in the spirit of Bob Hope, do a little bit of what Bob Hope did. You know, I could bring some King's girls in here. I could bring the Laker girls, some Playboy bunnies, some entertainment, a lot of food. And he says, Fred, it's yours. You know, I'm not doing this anymore. So Mike's a great guy, General Mike Tillman. And so I took it over the second year and it went so good that that I continue doing it. So now it's my 10th anniversary, and we get a lot of celebrities out there every year, and the elected officials show up. And you know, last year we had Tommy Lasorda there. I mean, we get, you know, Vince Ferragamo. We get all kinds of sports celebrities and regular celebrities that go out there and help feed the troops. This Tuesday, we will be feeding about 450 men and women. If there's a couple of volunteers out there who want to be out there with us all day, you know, feel free to get in touch with me on Facebook, Fred Zermino. Facebook page, and I'll be more than happy to have a couple of volunteers. Not too many, but a couple of working bees, of course. I'll be working. You always see me working. I'm nonstop. But if anyone's interested, yeah, feel free to join us out there. We have a country band who's performing. Brent Payne is performing this year, as well as the B-Tunes, who are a Beatles tribute band. So anyone who wants to come out and have a good time, yeah, get in touch with me.
How is it working with these men and women? You know, they serve our country. They're out there doing so much to help us. And for you, you know, obviously, your job is more of sort of a liaison between these artists who come to perform.
Right.
Just to kind of give you an example, I mean, you do concerts with them as well. You know, how is it working with these people and just helping them?
Well, with this group, it's the youngest you're going to see. They're coming right out of boot camp, so they're fired up, they're happy, they're gung-ho, they're getting ready to go. No questions asked, they're excited. You see this excitement in their eyes, and so what you want to do, at least what I want to do, is give them a full traditional Thanksgiving meal, some entertainment, and they can't take nothing with them. So what they do is they have their phones. So by having the King's Girls there and the Galaxy Girls and a couple of Playboy Bunnies, they do a lot of selfies. They're going to take those selfies with them. They're going to share them with their friends. And for them, that's a blast because it's a surprise. They don't know we're doing this. They arrive at the LA airport in buses. And then you know, when they get there, we have the dinner and the entertainment and the girls, so it's a blast.
And you said this was the tenth annual, right?
Tenth annual.
So tell me, what gives you each year more incentive to want to continue to want?
I have a great story. On my third year, one of the gentlemen came up to me and he says, "Hey, I heard you're the guy who puts this on for us." And I said, "I love it, and I'll continue to do it." And then he says, and he looks at me with a tear in his eye, and he says, "Fred, this is my third year leaving on Thanksgiving, and this is my first Thanksgiving meal in 3 years."
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, for me, I just said, you know what? Right there, it struck me, and I said, man, I'm going to continue to do this, because how many other guys are like him that never came up to me and told me that? But this guy had enough courage to come up to me and say, this is my first Thanksgiving meal in 3 years, because I've been deployed for the last 3 years.
Wow.
And luckily, he landed there at that parking lot, had a full meal, had a great time, listened to entertainment and a couple of comedians, and he left happy.
That's heartwarming. First, he said his first meal in 3 years. I mean,
Thanksgiving meal. Yeah.
Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah. His first Thanksgiving meal where he sat down. And we had the national anthem, we had prayer, we do everything, and wow. These guys love it. So yeah, it was amazing.
That's really incredible. It's so nice to hear that there's people out there just giving back to our veterans.
And that's the only way that's the least I could do for these guys, man, because they do so much for us.
Right, absolutely. We kind of go back a little bit. You know, you were telling us a story, and I thought, you know, this really kind of touched me in a way. And I remember we were discussing about when you first started in photography.
Okay.
You were covering an event. It was actually a Carlos Santana concert in Baja California.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that while you were down there in Baja California, you took your car down there. It was a Datsun. I'm trying to think of the name.
The 82 Datsun.
It was a B210. Yeah.
B210. You went out there, and you met this family while you were down there.
You know, that was a great little car. I love that little car. It was a little four door, fast little guy. Yes, sir. Fast little guy. And so the Santana show was great. It was amazing. His dad opened up for him. Jorge Santana was there, and Carlos just had a slew of family and friends on stage with him, and it was the first time he performed in Tijuana, and probably the only time. I haven't heard of him going back there. But so what happened when I left the show, which I photographed the entire show, I saw a family out there when I stopped. I forget what I stopped for. And they just it was a really hot night, and they just looked tired. So I went up to the father, and I gave the father the keys of the car, and I said, "Here, these are yours." And he looked at me, and he said, "I can't afford it," in Spanish. He was talking to me in Spanish. And I said, "No, I'm going to give you the car." The car was given to me, so it's a little payback. And so I ended up leaving Tijuana without my little B210. But I felt so good giving it to a family who I knew needed it. You know, he had three kids out there, his wife, and he was just so appreciated that he wanted to drive me back. And I told him, "No, don't worry about it, man. I'm gonna take the bus. The car's yours." And that was really that was really cool.
So then, tell me about the journey back. I mean, because
well, the journey back.
I mean, because hey, you go and had your car.
You came with the 910 and you left on the 210.
Yeah. So I was gonna take the bus back, but since I had all my camera equipment, I didn't take the bus back. I kind of walked, and I stayed at a lot of different beaches. It took me probably about 4 months to get back, and I photographed every beach on my way back, and I wrote a little bit about each beach's name, where it originated from, and learned a lot about the Southern California coast.
So
it's a book I started. It's called Cruising the California Coast, and it's something that I'd love to finish, hopefully in 2016.
Right.
Awesome.
Well, you know, and again, it's just I think it goes to show that just we even way back then, you know, this was like the 90s, you were already doing a great deal of charity. I mean, just things like little things like that to help people.
It was amazing.
Complete strangers, you know, and it's just again.
I never saw the guy again. I didn't know them. I don't even know if the car was ever re-registered. Or even what happened to the car, but yeah, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Well, recently on September 26, 2015 of this year, you held your a tribute to the Beatles festival, and it was held at Pico Rivera's Strawberry Fields, and you had over 4,000 tickets sold. Now, keep in mind, 900 student tickets were given away, and 900 tickets were given to troops. It was an amazing show. You guys, you had obviously the Beat Tunes, the Beatles Now, Johnny Vatos, John Avila, Steve Bartik from Oingo Boingo,
Mike Albert, Shankar.
These guys all came out to pitch in and throw a great show. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, the talent was amazing, and me growing up, I love a big, I'm a big Beatle fan, and so it was the fourth annual Beatles Festival that took place here in Southern California. They kind of bounce around. Do you need to go on break?
No, no? We can keep on going. We're good.
It's great, guys. Looking out for us.
Yeah. Let's.
We got about 30 seconds here. Yeah. We're gonna be running. But no, definitely. You know, you're gonna tell us a little more about the tribute to the Beatles Festival. Obviously, this is one of the great things that you're doing, and they're out there. Raising money and just providing entertainment for people who are less
Beatles fans. Yeah.
And one more time, if you want any more information or to volunteer, Fred Zermino on Facebook, his Facebook page, and there's also www.mdfmf.org.
Correct.
And remember also to check out the www.bobhopeuso.org for the information on the Thanksgiving dinner. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on the Music Forum. We're your hosts, Carlos Uribe and Josh Bonilla. We spent the first half of our show talking with a gentleman who has dedicated his life and career to helping others. As a civic leader, he strives to make his community the standard by which all others are measured. As a humanitarian, he strives to improve the quality of life of both young and old who are less fortunate and in need. His love for his country is exemplified through his tireless and unselfish desire to serve those men and women who have served and those who continue to serve in our United States Armed Forces. Stay tuned to the Music Forum for the second half of our show and our interview with our special guest, Fred Zermino. You are listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the campus of Pasadena City College, lancerradio.org.
And you can follow us on Facebook /Lancer Radio.
Are
but
you anxious?
PCC Veteran Services strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefits, information referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club at any time in the Veterans Resource Center in Building W, Room 108. Pasadena City College School of Visual Media and Performing Arts presents Lore and Behold, The Art of Carol Carompas and Perry Picot. Take Me There. Both shows run from October 7th, November 6th, 2015 in the Bone Gallery and Gallery 5.
Are you anxious, frustrated, or just feeling down? Stop by Psychological Services and talk to a counselor. We are committed to helping students cope with the transitions of adulthood by increasing their awareness, knowledge, and resources. We attempt to meet each student at his or her need level, whether in a crisis situation, experiencing an exacerbation of a long-standing problem, or anticipating forthcoming changes. The Psychological Services Program helps students to handle the stresses of college life. Learning to master these challenges will enhance the student's psychological, educational, and career development while at PCC and long after. Stop by L108 or call 626-585-7273. We are here to help.
Are you looking to transfer? Pasadena City College has services and programs that help students transfer to four-year colleges and universities. In fact, PCC is one of the top-ranked California community colleges transferring students to the CSU and UC systems. Every year, four-year institutions make over 600 visits to recruit PCC students. And if you're a working adult, counseling and transfer services are available in the evening. Explore our website at www.pasadena.edu/transfer for all the resources that will help you with your four-year college choice and transfer plan. The Transfer Center is located in Room 110 in the L Building. For more information, stop by L110 or call 626-585-7287.
Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds. Quiet numbskulls, I'm broadcasting. Streaming live 24/7 at LancerRadio.org.
Welcome back to The Music Forum. We're your hosts, Josh Bonilla and Carlos Uribe. Joining us in our Lancer Radio Network studios today is a gentleman whose humanitarian efforts have improved the lives of countless Los Angelinos. Please welcome Frank Zermino to The Music Forum. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org.
And a Beatles fan as well.
Beatles fan, yes,
huge
sir.
Beatles fan.
Makes two or three of us in here now.
Which brings us back to the Beatles, tribute to the Beatles Festival. Well, tell us a little bit about that, how that got started. And
The Beatle Festival, I went to a couple of Beatle Fests and just imagine other things that could happen at a Beatle Fest. So I said, hey, I want to do my own Beatle Fest. And the first one I did was at the Queen Mary. And what I did differently than everybody else is I wanted to make sure all the album covers were blown up 10 by 10 so people could take photos in front of them. And I wanted, more Beatle merchandise there and just Beatle music playing throughout the park, Beatle tributes with celebrities and a Beatle karaoke stage for the kids and just all that neat stuff to promote Beatle music. And which was really neat this year, I was able to go to Ringo's 75th birthday, which they held over at Capitol Record.
He invited you to that, right?
Well, he didn't, but a couple other folks that were there invited me, and I was able to meet him backstage. They told him a little bit about me, and so basically Ringo said, keep doing what you're doing, keep promoting the music. So for me, that's an endorsement. Thank you, Ringo Starr.
That's definitely an endorsement.
Yeah. So he said, keep doing what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep doing it. We're going to do it again next year. But I've had them at the Santa Monica Pier, at the Queen Mary, in Santa Barbara, and this one was in Pico Rivera. It was centrally located in L.A. County. So it was a really neat festival. Had a lot of great musicians, as we mentioned, prior to that. And
you guys had the guys from Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
You got Mike Albert, of course. Mike Albert of Megadeth, he was out there. Stephen Perkins. Jane's Addiction?
Yeah, and there was just so many people that
Shankar was there. Billy Bob Thornton, man. What does he do?
Well, unfortunately, Billy Bob didn't show up that night, but we have him. We're tracking him, and he's promised to be part of the 2016 festival.
We got to find that guy.
Yeah.
yeah, that is awesome. So now, how is it going with this concert? Where do you see it next year? What's the plan?
You know, I still see people showing up. You know, we had 10,000 at the Queen Mary, 15,000 at Santa Monica Pier. We had about 6,000 at the Sports Arena in Pico Rivera. So people still love the Beatles. There's still a lot of followers, and as long as people keep showing up, we'll keep doing it because you know, that's what it's all about, is sharing the music. Sharing the music with the people about the Beatles.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you know, we're going to go on to another topic, which, you know, just to me, when I found out, I was actually quite surprised, because, you know, you think, you know, this gentleman is working so hard in the community, and I mean, not working, but with charity work, and then I come to find out that you're actually the planning commissioner chairman for the city of Pico Rivera.
That's correct. You know, it's a great city. I moved in there about 15 years ago now, and I live in the north side of the city. And being part of the planning commission on my fifth year, you know, I wanted to make sure that there was improvements in the city. You know, we've just been named the one of the most playful cities for the last 2 years. We've been named by the Obama administration as one of the greatest programs for feeding the kids at elementary and high schools. We've taken out the soda machines, the junk machines, and we have different type of foods now that we feed the kids. And we do pay 1% more tax than any other city in the nation.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, usually, you know, when they vote for new taxes in our city, everybody's like, no, we don't like. You had an 82%. Vote in favor of that?
That's right.
Wow.
When the people voted, they were in favor of it. But, you know, we get an extra 24-hour sheriff vehicle. We get an extra paramedic vehicle, an extra fire truck. We have extra senior programs that are like no other. We have the number one graffiti program in California. If we see graffiti, it's in-house, it's taken care of in-house, and it's gone within 24 hours. So there's a lot that 1% brought to the table. We're not in debt. We're a great city. We've brought in more new business to the city of Pico Rivera in the last 5 years than any other city in the county. So obviously, that one extra 10% is not scaring away the businesses. Oh, so they love to do business in Pico Rivera, and we have a lot of new big business as well.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that a Walmart just came in, and one of Walmart, the largest, most highest business volume.
They just reopened up again in the city of Pico Rivera, and they're the busiest in LA County, the city of Pico Rivera. We have a Norm's. We have a really nice outdoor plaza with all these new businesses, which include Panera Bread and LA Fitness, and the list goes on and on people who are coming to the city of Pico Rivera. And we love it. We enjoy it. We have the Pico Rivera Sports Arena, who's bringing tons of new talent to the area and concerts that compete, you know, with the Greek Theater, because we're miles away from anything else, but we're centrally located. So we do as much as we can there in the city of Pico Rivera.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like not only just in your own community, you're also working, because you've lived there, as you mentioned, for the past 15 years.
Correct.
You're doing things in your community. I'm wondering, you know, back in 2005, we had a gentleman who was the mayor of Pico Rivera at that time, Mr. Bob Archuleta.
Correct.
And he was a former combat veteran and paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne Division.
That's right.
He was appointed to the Board of Visitors at the United States Academy at West Point. How was it working with this gentleman?
Bob Archuleta loves the city, and he's very outspoken about it. And he's one of our big leaders. You know, without people like Bob Archuleta, we wouldn't be where we're at now. Bob Archuleta was appointed by the Obama administration, the first Latino to be appointed by the Obama administration to be on the board of West Point. So he's very proud of being on the board of West Point Military Academy, and we're proud of having Bob there in our city.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And so now there, from what I understand, his position over there is to oversee the students, and they oversee the various programs there at the
That's correct. I believe that's what he does there. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, another association that you're involved with is the Rio Hondo Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you're on the board. You're on the board of the Rio Hondo Symphony, and you're the events coordinator
now,
for that.
Now, earlier you mentioned, you know, why I choose the organizations I get involved with, and the reason I got involved with the Rio Hondo Symphony because what they do is amazing. It was just mind-boggling to know that an organization raises funds to put on concerts for the children year-round and concerts for the community with a professional orchestra. And I said, well, how much do you guys spend for each concert? So they told me, and I'm like, how could this be possible? How can you guys raise this much money and put on these free concerts? And they said, we've been doing it for 83 years.
Wow.
So about 5 years ago, because I used to do free concerts, I used to do La Feria del Pueblo at Alvera Street and the Chanclazo and
what is the Chanclazo?
You know, it's an event that the city has various years for the city employees, and so I used to help produce those. But those were free concerts that we put on for the city, including Feria del Pueblo, which took place at Alvera Street, and those are all free concerts. So I know what goes behind free concerts. It's a lot of sponsorship. Well, the Rio Hondo Symphony, they don't have sponsors, so they raise money other ways. They raise money through memberships. They raise money through endowments. They raise money through people donating vehicles, buses, vans, RVs, whichever way they can to continue putting on free concerts in the community. So I said, you know what? I like what these guys are doing. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to help them raise some funds, and I'm going to help them put on their special events. And so I've been with them now for 4 years, and it's not a full-time job, obviously. I don't have that time, but but as long as I could do whatever I can part-time to help them, I was just amazed at what they do. So I'm committed to the Rio Hondo Symphony because I just love any organization that puts on free concerts for the community. And they bring – last Sunday we just had our second concert of the year, and it was a 65-piece orchestra with conductor Kimio Furumoto, who is a great conductor, and all these professional musicians who come together and make it all happen. I mean, it's just an amazing organization. So if anyone wants more information on the Rio Hondo Symphony, it's riohondosymphony.org.
So on that note, this is our special guest this afternoon is a media communication specialist. He uses his skills and talents to help those who are less fortunate all around the world. Fred Zermino is live with us here on Lancer Radio Network Studios. Don't go anywhere. This is Lancer Radio Network streaming live at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Follow us on Facebook.com/Lancer Radio, Twitter.com/Lancer, PCC Lancer Radio, Instagram.com/Lancer Radio, SoundCloud.com/Lancer Radio, YouTube, PCC Lancer Radio. But thanks for all of the above, and awesome.
Check us out. Now check us out.
PCC veterans strongly encourage all veterans to join the PCC Veterans Club. Statistics show that students who assimilate to campus life by developing associations with like-minded students have a higher degree of success. The PCC Veterans Resource Center offers benefit information, referrals, free tutoring, mentoring programs, and more. Join the PCC Veterans Club anytime in the Veterans Resource Center in Building W, Room 108.
PCC's first-year Pathways program provides students guaranteed full schedules, including difficult-to-get English and math courses in the fall and spring semesters of their first year at the college. Pathway provides students with the critical support they need outside the classroom so that they complete their academic goals in a timely manner. For more information about PCC's Pathways program, visit www.pasadena.edu/pathways.
Hey, did you know there's a free shuttle service available for students who wish to travel between the PCC main campus, the Allen Avenue Gold Line Station, and the Community Education Center? The shuttle service operates Monday through Thursday, 6:30 a.m. to 10:45 p.m., and Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., with departures every 15 to 30 minutes from each location. The main campus shuttle stop is located on the north side of the campus between lots 6 and 7. The Community Education Center shuttle stop is located in Lot C at the north end. The shuttle can be met curbside at the Allen Avenue Gold Line Station. We pride ourselves in providing a safe and comfortable ride for our passengers. For more information, please contact Peter Benson, the shuttle supervisor, at 626-585-7223. PASS, the Program for Academic Support Services, is a federal program funded by the U.S. Department of Education, designed to increase the retention, graduation, and transfer rates of students who are low income or the first in their family to go to college. There are numerous programs and services offered to ensure student success, as well as field trips to four-year colleges and cultural and educational activities. The PASS staff provides personalized guidance to participants and offers a friendly and supportive environment that includes frequent contacts and follow-ups throughout their academic journey. If you are committed to obtaining your associate's degree or transferring to get your bachelor's degree and you need academic support, visit the PASS office in D122 or call 626-585-7815.
Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Kappa Sounds. Quiet numbskulls, I'm broadcasting. Streaming live 24-7 at LancerRadioNetwork.org. Work. Charity work.
Welcome back to the Music Forum with your hosts Josh Baniak and Carlos Uribe.
Welcome, welcome.
Joining us today is a gentleman who, through his charitable causes, has changed the lives of many people for the better. Mr. Fred Zermino is here with us on the Music Forum. This is Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena, streaming live at LancerRadio.org.
Welcome back, Mr. Zermino.
Yeah, awesome, guys. Great show. Having a great time here and listening to some Beatles at the same time. That's well, cool.
You know, we heard a little bird told us that you like the Beatles.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of figured with all the charity work that you do with them that we definitely program some Beatles for
awesome.
You today.
Good stuff.
We were discussing with you before we went on break about your work with the city and just everything that you do there. Is there anything coming up? Are there any projects or anything that you're working on yourself that you might want to share with us today?
You know, other than the Bob Hope USO event coming up Tuesday, I usually take a little break in December and see who I can help out. And but obviously, I'm always working on my photography in the garage because I still have hundreds of negatives that I'm transferring over to digital. So I'm always working on that because you know, I want to make sure that everything gets filed.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Well, no, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny that you know you say you're taking a break during the holiday season. Usually, everyone is working. This guy works all year long, you know, and he takes a month off or so to come up and catch your breath a little bit.
And I always say that, but I usually don't. I always say I'm going to take a little break in December, but something always comes up. You know, I know I'm going to be in Las Vegas the first week of December for the NASCAR parade, the championship parade that they have out there. And then I'll say I'll come back and take a break, but things always come up. You know, bands are always playing. Musicians are always inviting me to different gigs. Tomorrow we're going to go catch Armored Saint at the M15 Club in Corona. So, I mean, you know, you want to take a break and you want to get some sleep, but it just, you know, sometimes you got to wait.
So, you know, you're talking about your photography. I know you mentioned you've done photography with NASCAR. You've done. You obviously started with the Rams.
Yeah.
You moved on to the Raiders.
You sure.
And now you're with the Dodgers. I mean, what is it like? How is it working with these guys? And I'm sure that these guys. I mean, you know, when you think of sports teams, they're one of the biggest charity raisers. They're out there just doing so much. How is that?
And you know, that's amazing because everyone calls them for donations, and so they also have to pick and choose. And most of the time, you know, the big corporations, they have who they donate to and who they work with. But every once in a while, they'll, you know, if you're lucky enough, you know, you'll get a little something from them. If you're a smaller organization, you just got to keep trying. Year after year, you got to show them what you've been doing. And I think that's what they want to see. The big organizations want to see what you're doing. But, you know, photography obviously is my true love, and that's what I continue to do. I'll continue to shoot NASCAR and the NFL as much as I can. And you know, every once in a while, I'll pick up the camera and go to a club and shoot a rock and roll band if it's someone classic, you know, just for nostalgic sakes. But other than that, yeah, it's you know, and I had to pick and choose. I had the opportunity to shoot the Lakers and the Kings. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't shoot everybody. And with everything else that I was doing.
That sounds like a terrible dilemma.
Yeah. Because people always ask me, hey, you have shots of Magic? And I say, you know what? I had to pick and choose, and I just couldn't do the Lakers. I couldn't do the Kings, but I did. I did NFL, I did NASCAR, and I did the Dodgers. So that, I think, was pretty good.
I was about and you said you've been doing the Dodgers for about 25
this
years.
This is my 26th year photographing the Dodgers, yeah, covering the Dodgers, yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And I imagine you cover quite a bit of their charitable events and things like that.
You know, fortunately enough, not too many. Every once in a while, we'll do a couple of community events, but they have their own staff photographer who's assigned to that, and so they do things like that. But I'll do a couple of community events every once in a while, you know, for the LA Children's Hospital or something like that. One of the bigger organizations, I'll be out there and join them. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, one of the other charities that you kind of helped do a startup on back in 2007 for their first year was Oscar Night America, and it was a Los Angeles charity show which was held at Union Station. It was held on February 25th, 2007. Mm. And it included art exhibit, charity, casino, and you actually brought in some of the artists, some of the musicians. I know some of them was Noelia, Patty de la Serla, Elvia, the Delgado Brothers, of course, the Delgado Brothers band. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How was that? You know, how did that go? How did you get that started?
So that was a great show. I knew this one guy who had good connections with Oscar folks, And they asked if we can put on an event to have Oscar Night America here in Los Angeles. So we said, yeah, of course, we'll put on a really nice event for you. And so we did it at Union Station. We had all these great bands, and I think about, you know, 400 or 500 people showed up, and we showed the Oscars on a giant screen. So it was like they were actually at the Oscars, but with a little bit more. We had entertainment for them, live entertainment, And we had raffles, and we had the red carpet. I mean, it was like going to the Oscars, but with a little bit more, because you're watching them there on television, and everyone's dressed up, everyone's in their suits and tuxes, and you're doing the red carpet, you're being photographed. So it's a really neat event, but you do it for charity. So that that evening, we recognized WAL Las Memorias, which is a large organization here in Southern California for AIDS and HIV. Right. And we also recognized it was another veterans group, and I'm drawing a blank on them right now, but yes, so it was two organizations that we recognized, and it's all for awareness, raised a little bit of money for them. But most importantly, we brought the awareness of these organizations to the city of LA and to some of the folks that were there. And that was really neat. But yeah, Oscar Night America, that's what they do throughout the United States, is they have various parties in different cities to raise money for different organizations.
Right. And I think it was something, the number was like, they raised that year, it was like $46 million or something like that.
It's amazing, right, what they raised, yeah.
It was incredible. I couldn't believe the amount of what they had done for that. It was official Oscar Night parties generated over $2.5 million. For local charities in 47 cities nationwide, and it was that year was interesting. That that was Latinos were there was up to 12 Oscar nominations for
Latino actors. Yeah, that was a big. It was good for us because we did our first one here in L.A. So we were able to bring in some Latino producers and so forth, mm-hmm. and we recognized some Latino producers that came from Mexico and other cities to receive their recognition. So that was pretty cool. It was a good year for us to be part of Oscar Night America. Wow.
And you know, the last thing, you know, we want to ask you a little bit of something about yourself. You know, we know that you're a humanitarian, you're a writer, you're a photographer, you're political, you're not a political, but a community leader.
Oh, I could be political, I'm ready to change the entire California lottery system.
There you go.
I mean, I could just go on. There's some things that are broken here in the city, I'll tell you that much, state.
We got to have you on the show again. It would be so great to have you, and we can talk about some of these other things.
We're going to go off in the state of California, only to make it a better state, guaranteed.
So, you know, you're a writer. Right now, you're in the process of writing. You're just going to finish your first book, which is entitled Cruising the California Coast. And you got a couple of books that you're working on that deal with your photography and things that you've done throughout your career.
That's correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about those and where we're headed with them?
Well, Cruising the California Coast, of course, is about every beach in California and obviously talking about where the names originated from and what happens in each little town by the beaches because there's so many beautiful beaches in Southern California and not too many people know about them. Everyone knows about, you know, Santa Monica, Huntington Beach, mm-hmm. you know, all the regular beaches everyone goes to.
Not the gays.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's so many beautiful beaches that people out here got to visit. You know, I know everyone likes to travel to Mexico and Hawaii, but come on, mm-hmm. we have, you know, Sandalar right? Beach, Plaskett Beach. We have some of the most beautiful beaches right. in our coast that
Leo Cabrillo?
That no one's ever
Zuma
seen.
Zuma Beach. Yeah. The list goes on with the beaches out here.
Well, no, you mentioned that on that trip back where you gave that car, your Datsun away,
sure.
you actually walked these beaches. You took photos and you actually wrote memoir, little stories about
little
your
stories,
visit there.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned that you're heading to, you want to finish the second leg of your trip, which is from San Francisco all
to
the
Oregon.
Way to Oregon. Yeah. Tell us about that. When are you planning to do that? And
well, hopefully 2017, I can take a little time off and get that done. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It's been so great. We're your hosts, Carlos Uribe and Josh Bonilla. We'd like to thank our listening audience for joining us this afternoon on the Music Forum. We spent the last hour speaking with a gentleman who is a humanitarian, writer, community leader, and photographer and spokesperson. His unbridled commitment to improve the lives of those who are less fortunate by bringing together musicians and entertainers to raise funds and awareness for whatever humanitarian cause he champions has helped thousands. As a community leader, he has fought successfully to make his city a better place by making the streets safe for its citizens, securing the future of its students, and honoring the legacy of its senior citizens. His charitable work with United Service Organization has and continues to touch the lives of countless United States Armed Service veterans and their families. Today on the Music Forum, we learn how the passion and commitment of one person can so positively change the lives of countless others. That man is Fred Zermino. Be sure to join us each and every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. here on the Music Forum. You are listening to Lancer Radio Network, Pasadena Campus Sounds, streaming live 24/7 from the campus of Pasadena City College, lancerradio.org. Have a wonderful day.
And don't forget to follow us on facebook.com/Lancer Radio and twitter.com/PCC Lancer Radio, instagram.com/Lancer Radio. Thank you.
These two guys rock.
Pasadena City College Learning Assistance Center, in partnership with Smart Thinking, Inc., is offering free online tutoring services to students 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The service allows students to upload screenshots, pictures, or a PDF of a problem into a virtual whiteboard that can be accessed by both the student and tutor. For more information about the LAC's free online tutoring service, contact John Wood at 626-585-7751.